Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Maverick, a biography of Thomas Sowell by Jason L. Riley, presents a focused, readable portrait of one of America's most influential public intellectuals. Rather than treating Sowell only as a catalog of best-selling titles and provocative arguments, Riley frames him as a person shaped by scarcity, discipline, and an insistence on evidence over fashion. The biography traces Sowell's journey from a childhood marked by poverty and limited formal schooling to military service, then to elite academic training and a long career as an economist, scholar, and syndicated columnist. Along the way, Riley highlights the defining feature implied by the title, Sowell's refusal to fit neatly into ideological boxes, including the willingness to revise earlier views when confronted with experience and data. The book also situates Sowell within major American debates on race, culture, markets, education, and government policy, showing how his ideas developed in conversation with institutions, mentors, and critics. The result is a succinct intellectual life story that explains why Sowell remains widely cited, controversial, and enduring. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from Harlem to the Academy, The Making of an Independent Mind, a central thread in the biography is how Thomas Sowell's early life forged the habits that later defined his scholarship, self-reliance, skepticism toward slogans, and a practical respect for competence. Riley emphasizes the distance between Sowell's beginnings and his eventual standing as a leading economist and commentator. Growing up with limited resources and disrupted schooling, Sowell learned to value hard-won knowledge and to distrust institutions that promised uplift while delivering little. Military service and subsequent education opened doors, but the book treats these not as fairy tale turning points so much as stages in a long process of disciplined self-education. Riley also uses this arc to explain Sowell's resistance to being interpreted as a spokesman for any tribe. His life story is presented as a series of choices that rewarded rigor over conformity, pursuing demanding academic environments, testing beliefs against lived reality, and refusing to let personal biography substitute for argument. By grounding Sowell's later positions in formative experiences, the biography helps readers see how an emphasis on incentives, trade-offs, and measurable outcomes can emerge from a life that repeatedly confronted constraints and consequences. Secondly, intellectual evolution, moving away from ideological certainty, Riley highlights Sowell's reputation as a thinker willing to change his mind, portraying his evolution as evidence of methodological seriousness rather than opportunism. The biography outlines how Sowell's early political outlook, shaped by the moral urgency of the era and the appeal of broad systemic explanations, gradually shifted as he confronted the complexities of policy design and real-world results. Instead of treating this change as a simple conversion narrative, Riley frames it as an accumulation of observations about how programs operate once filtered through incentives, bureaucracies, and unintended consequences. This topic also shows why Sowell became wary of sweeping promises and why he preferred comparative analysis over moral posturing. Riley underscores the role of academic training and exposure to different schools of thought in sharpening Sowell's emphasis on empirical grounding. The book positions Sowell's mature stance as less about ideological labels and more about a consistent approach, ask what works, for whom, at what cost, and compared to which alternatives. For readers, this part of the biography functions like a lesson in intellectual hygiene, demonstrating how a commitment to evidence can push someone away from fashionable orthodoxies on both the left and the right. Thirdly, economics as a way of seeing trade-offs, incentives, and reality. A major emphasis in Riley's account is that Sowell's influence comes not only from his conclusions, but from his way of thinking. The biography explains how Sowell popularized core economic reasoning for general audiences, insisting that many public disputes are ultimately about trade-offs rather than intentions. Riley presents Sowell as someone who repeatedly redirects attention from stated goals to operating mechanisms, how incentives shape behavior, how constraints limit options, and how policies can create secondary effects that overwhelm their original aims. This approach becomes a unifying theme across Sowell's work in economic history, public finance, labor markets, and social policy commentary. Riley also shows how Sowell's style, clear and combative when necessary, served an educational purpose, pushing readers to ask comparative questions instead of settling for rhetoric. The biography treats this as part of Sowell's maverick status because it challenges a common preference for moral narratives that do not require measurement. By focusing on economics as a lens rather than a narrow technical field, Riley helps readers understand why Sowell's arguments resonate beyond academia, and why supporters see him as a corrective to naive policymaking while critics see him as an uncompromising skeptic of ambitious reforms. Fourthly, race, culture, and social policy, controversy, and analytical frameworks, Riley addresses the domain in which Sol is most debated, questions of race, inequality, and the impact of government interventions. The biography describes how Sol approached these issues through comparisons across groups, eras, and countries, often arguing that outcomes cannot be explained by a single cause and that cultural patterns and institutional incentives matter. Riley portrays Sol as challenging prevailing narratives by asking what evidence supports a claim, what baseline is being used, and whether alternative explanations have been ruled out. This stance brought Sol both notoriety and a large audience, especially when he criticized policies he believed produced dependency, reduced skill formation, or intensified social conflict. The book also treats Sol's work on race as part of a broader preoccupation with how ideas can harden into dogma, making certain questions taboo and insulating programs from evaluation. Riley does not present the biography as a verdict on every contested point. Instead, he emphasizes how Sol framed disputes, look for measurable effects, compare across cases, and distinguish compassion from competence. For readers, this topic clarifies why Sol became a frequent reference point in debates about education, affirmative action, welfare, and policing, and why reactions to his work are often intensely polarized. Lastly, public intellectual at work, writing, institutions, and enduring influence, Riley depicts Sol as a rare figure who bridged academic research and mass communication without diluting his insistence on argument and evidence. This topic focuses on how Sol's career unfolded through universities, think tanks, and publishing, and how these settings shaped his ability to influence public discussion. The biography highlights the discipline behind his output, presenting it as a product of routine, clarity of purpose, and a commitment to making complex ideas accessible. Riley also explores Sol's role as a contrarian within intellectual life, often more interested in dismantling weak reasoning than in cultivating alliances. That posture, paired with a direct prose style, helped him reach readers who felt alienated by jargon or by politicized discourse. At the same time, it made him a target for critics who questioned his interpretations or worried about how his arguments would be used in policy battles. Riley frames Sol's durability as stemming from two factors: a consistent analytical method and a willingness to address subjects others avoid. The biography suggests that even when readers disagree with Sol, engaging his work can sharpen their thinking, because it forces confrontation with trade-offs, evidence standards, and the gap between intention and outcome. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want to understand Thomas Sol as a whole person and as a public thinker, students exploring political economy, professionals interested in policy, and general readers who have heard his name but never grasped how his worldview formed. It will also appeal to anyone curious about how an intellectual can move across ideological lines while remaining anchored to a consistent method of reasoning. The practical benefit is less about adopting every conclusion and more about adopting better habits, weighing trade-offs, questioning narratives that rely on intention alone, and demanding comparisons rather than isolated anecdotes. Riley's biography can improve a reader's life by modeling how disciplined work, self-education, and intellectual humility can coexist with strong convictions. Compared with similar books that either canonize Sol or reduce him to a set of controversies, this biography offers a balanced route into his development, connecting biography, ideas, and public debate without drowning the reader in technical economics. It is worth buying because it functions as both an introduction to Sol's major themes and a guide to why his arguments continue to shape conversations about markets, culture, and government. Readers finish with clearer context for evaluating Sol and for thinking more rigorously themselves. If you would like to support Jason L. Riley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.